The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Successful people can be at the top of their game in the business world and as parents, but it can sometimes be difficult to stay above it all. Now it's time to learn from an entrepreneur who has made this a reality. Welcome to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood, hosted by Chris Efesiou. Chris and his guests will share ideas and experiences to help you manage your life in business and as a parent. Now, here's Chris Efesiou.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. Balancing work and family so that the two coexist harmoniously is a tall order under the best of circumstances. Doing that in the event of challenging experiences, when demands of work take you far away from home, or when conditions at work are less than certain, is even more of a challenge. How do you cope with that? My guest today is here to share his experiences on the subject. Ed Marinaro is well known to all of you for both his athletic and acting achievements. He played football for Cornell University and was named a three-time All-American and honored as a Heisman Trophy finalist in 1971. After college, Ed was drafted by the Minnesota Vikings, where he played for four seasons before jumping over to New York Jets and the Seattle Seahawks. Ed then turned to acting. His big break was landed as a guest spot, which turned as a recurring role in the sitcom Laverne and Shirley. After that, he landed a role as Officer Joe Coffey on Hill Street Blues, which served as a template for future roles, his most recent role being the Coach Marty on Blue Mountain State sitcom. Ed and his family now live in South Carolina, and he plans on taking part in a Blue Mountain State feature film, and it is my pleasure to have him here as my guest today. Ed, welcome.
Thank you, Chris. Nice to be talking to you.
Thank you. Ed, this is an illustrious career that spans several decades, and not to diminish any of other football players who turn actors, but many of them don't necessarily go to Ivy League schools and distinguish themselves academically and within the school that they play, and then they get drafted into the NFL and play for three major teams rather. So, tell us what got you into playing football, other than the desire to toss the ball, which many of us have, but very few of us have both the aptitude, the discipline, and the talent that it takes to not only make it to college football, but then obviously professional. When did this start for you?
Well, football, and when I was sports in general, but football in particular, was just, it's just something we did. It was a very different time back in the 50s, and life was easier. Kids played outside. There weren't organized teams. We just all went out and got a baseball or a football or a basketball, and we just played sandlot stuff. And we had no special training, no special coaches. We weren't sent to clinics. We just learned to do it all on our own. And I was given some God-given ability athletically. And I guess it was, I look back at it all in reflection. I was always very good at in sports, at all the sports. I was one of the best guys all the time. And it was almost like a natural progression. It wasn't, you know, people ask me, you know, I get asked to talk to groups, to corporations, and what I tell them is I'm not a motivational speaker because I don't know how to motivate. I tell my story, and hopefully somebody will get inspired. But you know, to be a motivator, it implies that I kind of did something or knew something that they might not know. But I didn't know anything. I just kind of did it, and it kind of happened. And it's hard for me to explain. It wasn't any kind of major life plan. You know, I wasn't one of those kids who said, "When I grow up, I want to be president." You know, I just kind of let life happen. And you know, I was fortunate enough to have good parents and have good positive role models around me. When life was different, life was easier, life was less about celebrity and the internet and it was more about just living the life you were living in your environment. It wasn't the world was a small place back then, and now it's a big place. But you know, I think that one of the only things that I sort of look back on and look at it being a kind of a life changing decision was choosing to go to an Ivy League college. I could have gone to 50 other schools. I had football scholarships to 50 colleges, and I also had some basketball scholarships to play in college. And you know, I always wanted to. I just knew instinctually that my an Ivy League education was going to serve me well for my whole life. And I think that was probably the most mature decision I made. And you know, I think that's what I'm proud of, even though I can't really explain why I did it. I just knew that it was a distinction. It would always be a distinction. And I knew I'd get a great education. I knew I'd be in contact with people who shared that same sort of value system that I did, you know, where education was important. And, you know, back when I was a young man choosing colleges, not everybody went to college. You know, that wasn't just expected of you. Now everybody goes to college, or they think they have to. But anyway, it's there's no real, there was no formula, or there's no secret thing that I did. I'm proud of what I did, but I just kind of let life happen.
And that's not a bad way to go. So you go from, you're drafted out of there into the NFL. Walk us through that transition. Because obviously what I'm trying to illustrate here is that this is a pretty major transition down a certain field, if you will. And then you later made an even bigger transition into something that was, it appears to have been totally out of your previous experience. So you have done well, obviously, in school, academically and athletically, and now you get drafted into the NFL. Is it more like you were a big fish on a small pond and now it's the reverse?
Well, you know, I think that people sort of downgraded or diminished my accomplishments because I was playing in the Ivy League. And back in the, you know, 60s and 70s, the Ivy League was still considered, you know, not big time, but it was in the Division I NCAA school, and it was possible for a team to be ranked in the top, 20 or 25. When I was in college, Dartmouth had a great team that was ranked in the top 20, which again was a rarity for an Ivy League team, but it could happen. So when I went into the NFL. There were skeptics and doubters and you know, quite frankly, I heard so many negative things that, you know, it was made it a little more difficult for me, you know, to keep my confidence where it should be, where it needed to be. And so, when I got there, I certainly saw the difference. The players were bigger, they were faster, and an athlete is it's sort of like a car where they give it a certain amount of gears. Some cars have more gears than others. With an athlete, you can get so far, but to get to the level of an NFL player, which they're, statistically, it's the odds are really against most kids from college going on and playing the NFL. You kind of have to have that extra gear. And the difference between the players that make it and the ones that don't make it are not having that extra gear. Even though you might have never used that extra gear, when you're called upon and you need it, you have it. And those are the guys who make it. And I did have that extra gear. I mean, I had to get to when I was running the ball, I had to get to the line of scrimmage quicker in the NFL than I did in college. And I realized I had that ability. I had the ability to get there quicker. I never had to use it, but I used it, and that's why, I had a 6-year career in the NFL. I was proud of that. That I, overcame a lot of criticism and doubts, it was a great experience. My career was cut short because of injury, but I had that. I proved to myself that I was one of the few people, one of that small percentage, is good enough to make it in the and as a professional in the NFL.
Absolutely, we have to take a break very shortly. But before we do that, I'm going to ask you a question, and we'll take the answer after the break. You talk about needing to have that extra gear. What I want to hear after the break is that extra gear a physical gear, or is it an intellectual one, or a little bit of both? Let's talk more about that after we come back from a short break. My guest is Ed Marinaro. You're listening to Straight Up with Chris. We'll be back in a moment.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk. Yeah! If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epicu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Epicu. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Epicu. My guest is Ed Marinaro. Please follow him on Twitter at Ed Marinaro. For information on this program, speaking engagements, and other activities, please visit my website, chrisfaccio.com or straightupwithchris.com. My Facebook page is Chris Fascio, and on Twitter, I'm Chief Daddy Officer. Before the break, Eddie had made a very poignant distinction in what it takes to rise to the next level, and he said that people are built like cars, and some have more gears than others, and you have to engage that extra gear. My question, Ed, is that gear a physical one, an intellectual or an emotional one, or is it a little bit of both?
Well, obviously, you know, you can't wish extra speed. You know, either you have it or you don't have it. I think that it takes a certain mental toughness to go and find if you have that extra gear, if you will. You know, it can be very intimidating. It should be intimidating when the first time a college athlete, a college football player, walks into an NFL locker room. You're rubbing shoulders to people that you've watched on television. I mean, it's the ultimate for any football player. It doesn't go any higher than the National Football League. So when you walk into that locker room, it's hard to feel equal to these players have been there for a while, and the reality is you might have to be beaten one out to make the team. You might have to take his spot. So there's a whole range of emotions that you're going through, and you're only 21 or 22 years old. So it's certainly emotionally challenging and mentally challenging. But that's probably more of a significant challenge than even the physical part. I mean, you have the physical part, but it's adjusting mentally to the pressures of this is, you know, this is my only shot. This is, if I don't make it today, or this team, I'm done. My career is over. And, you know, training camp for most players is something they remember, their first training camp, because it is really, it is gut-wrenching, and every mistake you make on the practice field during the day, every pass you drop, if you fumble the ball, you don't sleep at night. So to be mentally tough and not let those things are going to happen. So to be able to mentally overcome those and not let it affect your physical performance, you know, throughout your training camp, that's another thing that will determine how successful you're going to be and whether you're even going to make the team. It's a very, very unique experience.
I bet. So let's switch gears. You get injured. You leave the NFL. What takes you to acting as opposed to just about anything else?
Well, I always tell people I needed a job. So I had actually been approached back while I was still playing football. I'd been spent some time in Los Angeles with a good friend of mine, Joe Namath. He and I met Joe when I was in college, and we became friends and still are friends. But I was out in L.A. We were playing golf, and he was, you know, he had been really involved in the Hollywood scene at that time. And through him, I was just meeting a lot of people out there. And somebody asked if I would, if I was interested in doing a screen test to replace Lee Majors in The $6 Million Man. This was 1976. You know, I'd never acted before. And I was still kind of in the prime of my career. And but I said, what the heck? I'll do a screen test. So I flew out to Los Angeles, and I did a screen test. And Lee Majors, obviously he came back to do the show, but it piqued my interest. And I was certainly going to make more money than I ever made as a football player. So I that off season, I went to L.A. and I got in an acting workshop, and I studied acting for 3 months before I went back to play for the Jets. And that's when I, you know, I thought, well, when my career's over, that's I'm going to give that a shot. You know, I was single. It was just me. I had no responsibility other than myself at that point. And you know, I was a little bit. I was different than most of the people that, you know, let's say my teammates. I mean, I was one of the few single guys on the on my football team. And I think that if I had been married with a family, I don't think I would have ever tried to pursue a career that, was so uncertain. I mean, I had a degree from Cornell, and I knew I could go to work. My degree was in hotel administration, and I knew I could get a job pretty easily, which probably wouldn't have been a bad thing. But you know, I was able. I had the freedom to just take a shot, and you know, I'm kind of the things always work out for the best. I got injured. I only played 6 years. Had I not been hurt, I probably would have played 10, maybe longer. I don't think if I had played longer that I would have even thought about going out to Hollywood. I would have felt I was too old for it. But when I got hurt, I was 26 or 27, and you know, still cocky and thinking I could do anything. So as soon as my career was over, I moved out to Los Angeles and started pursuing a career in earnest. It was easier. You know, I had slight advantages because I, when you're a new actor, when he moves out to Hollywood, the biggest challenge is getting a union card, a SAG card, and getting an agent.
Right.
And I had both those, so that wasn't a problem. And so, you know, I paid my dues. I studied, and you know, the culture was a lot different back then. Today, I call it the American Idol syndrome, where these young kids go out to Hollywood and they expect to be stars in 3 months. And in my day, you know, you go out there and you enjoy the whole process of learning about acting. You studied in classes, and you know, you took every little audition and every little theater scene you would do. You know, they were kind of, you knew you were building a foundation. And we all loved the feeling of the adulation and being watched and being affecting people. But I think today it's a little more of this, the celebrity culture that drives, you know, these young people to Hollywood and to want to make music. And, you know, I don't think it's as pure and innocent as it was when I started.
And I think the phenomenal success of some people who happen to be at the right place at the right time, not to diminish their talent, Justin Bieber being one, you know, other kids who idolize this individual, they think that they can get out there and do the same. And of course, what it takes to get there is something that most people don't see. But then again, that's the American dream. If somebody can do it, I can do it too.
Well, you know, speaking to what I said earlier, I think that in any success people are going to have in life. Now, I've had a very charmed life, and you know, I could sit up there and sort of pontificate about you have to do this and you have to do that. But I've come to learn that, and I think I learned it early on, that luck is probably the biggest factor in any success. Now, it doesn't mean that you know, you have dumb luck, like when you win the lottery.
Right.
But when in order to be successful, even if you're smart, hardworking, you always need that element of luck or fate or whatever. I think to think like that is a good thing, because it kind of takes a little pressure off you, and it gives you luck can always give you hope. And I look at my life and the things where there are moments in my life that led to certain things that it was just luck that I had been there at the right time. I'd like to take all the credit, But it's not the case. You have to have a certain amount of luck. But there's also that old adage that the harder you work, the luckier you get.
Isn't that the truth, though?
Yeah, but you got to work hard. But I think I always tell young people, you know, you can't beat yourself up because there's always that element that you have no control over, and it's the luck part. And that's, it's important because it keeps you from getting discouraged. And you never know what corner you'll turn, and you'll somebody will notice you, somebody, but you have to be prepared, because when you do get that luck, if you aren't able to, there's another old adage, luck is when preparation meets opportunity. And the only thing you can be sure of is your preparation. You can never be sure of the opportunity.
That's very true.
But you got to make sure that if you do get that opportunity, you not only recognize it, but you take advantage of it. And I think that's how I'm looking back on my life. I think everything that's been happened that's good, all the good things that have happened in my life have had that kind of scenario.
So you're in the NFL, then you're into acting. Neither of those two careers, though they're both well known for very high pain scales, they're also equally well known for the uncertainty that comes with that pay date, because in neither of those careers can you expect a regular check to come in, and you play for as long as you're healthy and you're good, and then you don't play, and if you don't play, you don't get paid. The same thing, you're acting and you're making millions of dollars, but if another job doesn't come through in a reasonable amount of time, then you have to manage the dry spell. What does it take for the average person to deal with that uncertainty, to know that every Friday or every other week I'm not going to get a paycheck, or I might?
Well, I think it's different for when you're a young person. I don't think you worry about it as much. Young people kind of live day to day. They don't really worry as much about the future as you do as you get older. Okay, I think it becomes more of an issue when you're an older person and you're having to deal with that kind of lifestyle. When I look at my career first as a football player, my concern was not money. My concern was I worried that I would get released by my team. I always knew I could make money, but the important thing for me was I wanted to play football. And that's what I worried about. The job insecurity was there, but it wasn't because I would say, if I get released or if I can't play in the NFL, how am I going to support myself? I never worried about that.
Let's take a short break here and continue on the other side of that. My guest is Ed Marinaro. You're listening to Straight Up with Chris. We'll be back in a moment.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epicu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Epicu. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Epicu. My guest is Ed Marinaro. Please follow Ed on Twitter at Ed Marinaro. Just before the break, we were talking about the uncertainty in Ed's work environment, both in the football side and in the acting side. And Ed, you were telling us that you were not concerned about the money. You knew you could make money doing whatever, but you were concerned about playing football.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to prove myself. I wanted to be successful as a football player. It was the dominant force in my life, and my fear was not having money. It was my fear was to not being able to accomplish to the level that I expected of myself, because I knew my career. Yeah, as an athlete, obviously your career is not long. I mean, if the average career of a NFL football player is 3.5 years, and I exceeded that, but you kind of live in a little a microcosm as a football player. In dog years, football player, a 30-year-old football player is equivalent to a 60-year-old man in real life, and you kind of in a way you sort of see. I went from being a relatively old football player, retiring at 28. I went from that to being a young leading man in Hollywood.
Right,
it was a bit of a little mind adjustment.
I can imagine. So was your view of Hollywood the same as that of football? Were you, was the, your own individual performance the driver in that career as it was in football?
My acting career was, frankly, I didn't take it seriously when I first got out there, and I mean, I was still a young guy, and I was just looking to have fun and meet pretty girls, and it was sort of a crazy time, which was the late 70s, early 80s. It was a free for all back then, and I lived it to the hilt. It took more discipline being an actor than did as a football player. As a football player, I had people telling me where to go, when to be there, coaching me. If I was late to practice, they'd find me. I had a support system. As an actor, it's pretty much you're responsible for yourself, and it requires a lot more discipline. And I think it took me a little while, not long, but it took me a little while to realize that. I think there's a certain amount of mental transition you have to make when you leave something that you've known your whole life, and it's kind of, you realize the finality of it. You're just not going to, when I realized my football career was over, even after I played, the last team I played for, I sort of held out hope that I might get another opportunity. But it didn't happen, and when I finally had to realize that my career was over, it's traumatic. It's difficult emotionally. And, you know, I was still a relatively young guy, and, you know, I probably acted accordingly as far as what a young, single, dumb guy would do. And, you know, I went through a period of just, you know, kind of a crazy period. And fortunately, not that crazy, but I survived and sort of refocused my energies and got serious about my career. And you know, that's when I got serious. I remember waking up one morning and saying, you know, you got to get focused, or else don't waste your time out here. And I did. And you know, in a very short period of time, a lot of good things started to happen for me. But you know, I think, you know, in many ways, being an athlete and that discipline really helps you as an actor, because I don't think actors in general are disciplined people, because of just the reasons I said. You know, you can, if you want to get up at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, no one's going to tell you not to.
Right.
When you're an actor trying to work, trying to get a job, but somebody who understands what it takes, you know, like it takes a mental discipline. I mean, there are actors who, when you start out, they do that. They get up and they're pounding the pavement. They're going to agents. They're handing out their pictures. They're very aggressive, you know, and that's what you, I think that's what you have to do. It might not result in anything, but you got to do it just to feel like you're doing something, because it's very easy. It's a tough business. It's a tough business to break into. It's
right.
A very closed, close-knit, closed set. You know, the people don't let you in there easily. And you gotta commit, and you never know the source. You know, there's no one way to become an actor. Or you know, I have, my friends will call me up and say, "Oh, Ed, you know, I have my daughter, my nephew, my niece. They're going to Hollywood. And I asked, would you talk to them and tell them, give them some advice?" And you know, I don't know what to tell them. Because there's no way to do it. I you know, kind of give them a pat speech and say, well, you know, you got to get out there, you got to get an acting class, and you know, learn your trade, and you know. But sometimes I'm, depending on my mood, I could get brutally honest and burst their bubble, you know.
Right.
I'd say, right. I tell them, I says, you know, it's hard and it's cruel, and you know, you could be out there for 5 years, 10 years, and you know, you might have one audition. I mean, it's hard.
And right.
But you know, I would never discourage anybody, because who am I to say, you know, you won't make it just because of that whole luck factor? You don't know. No one knows. There are actors out there who you would never think that they would ever become as popular, as famous as they are. There's no rhyme or reason, you know. It can happen to anybody, just like exactly. Winning the lottery.
Very true. So you obviously, through your career, you've been pretty mindful of a number of different things, and obviously self-discipline is one of them. It took you a while to establish a family, to get married and establish a family. Was that in part because of the drives and the demands on the career, or was it some other factor that you were trying to balance?
Honestly, I looked around me and I saw people who were so well-intended. And first of all, as a young guy, I knew I was not ready to be married, and I mean, everyone that I knew, let's say when I was in my 20s, who were married, I'd say 90% of them are divorced right now. I had a real aversion to divorce. I did not. I saw what it did and recognized. I was very sensitive to that, and I just said, I do not want to do that. And personally, I don't think, particularly today, that young people should even think about getting married until they're old enough. Now that's very, you know, it's a subjective thing. In my opinion, I don't think in today's world men don't even come into their own until they're well into their 30s. It's a different world. I think you have to establish yourself. You have to have some money in the bank. The criteria I use is, if you can't afford to buy a house, you shouldn't get married. You know, that whole adage, you know, you struggle together, it doesn't work anymore. This is my opinion. And I felt like that years ago. But also, having said that, I was a young, single, good-looking guy with money. Who could date, you know, I was dating, you know, wonderful, beautiful women. And I guess I was doing what I felt I should be doing at that point in my life. I was very lucky. But I knew that until I was, I would know when I was ready to commit to a relationship, and when I met the right person and everything came together. And that took a while for me, but I think my life was so unique to some of the things that you said. You know, there's a lot of insecurity in being an actor. And I think that actors and actresses become very vulnerable during insecure times, and they look to other people to give them that security, and oftentimes they make poor choices just based on their insecurities. And that's why you see the divorce rate so high in Hollywood. It's very high.
Indeed it is. And of course, you know, there can be any number of factors for that. Some factor may very well be as simple and as dumb as, my friend did it, so I got to do it again. I got to do it also. So,
well, you know what? No matter what age you get married, there's no guarantees. We're a very fragile, flawed species when it comes to that stuff. But same time, you know, I think you give yourself a little better odds when you take care of some of the fundamentals that seem to become issues in a marriage. It's very simple stuff, you know, and I think women have to be in the right place, and you know, the age difference is a huge thing, I believe, today. You know, men and women are like men are from Mars, women from Venus, whatever that book was, you know.
Yep.
They're not compatible. A 30-year-old guy and a 30-year-old woman are two different worlds, and it just doesn't work. I mean, you could look at the statistics. I've read stuff about this. You know, it's just, obviously there'll be exceptions, but anyway, that's a whole other topic. I waited a long time, and sometimes I wish I had gotten married earlier, only because I have a son who I adore, who's 11 years old. And, you know, he keeps me young, and I just wish I know him and he knows me, I wish I would have known him longer. But
you're in good health, and, you know, there is, the time is ahead of both of you, and, you do the best, with that time. We'll take a short break, and then we will talk about, Ed's particular affinity in trying to balance work and family to the degree that he has scheduled the taping of one of his shows in the summertime so that his family can be with him and he is not away from them. We'll take a short break. My guest again is Ed Marinaro. We'll be back in a moment.
We'll be right back.
news, opinion, passion. Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epicu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris. Real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Epicu. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Epicu. My guest is Ed Marinaro. Please follow him on Twitter at Ed Marinaro. Ed was telling us just before the break importance of starting a family when you're ready to start a family. He has an 11-year-old son that he adores. And you do that so much so, Ed, that it kind of sometimes causes you to dictate your work schedule in a way that it can involve the family. So tell us about that.
Well, you know, fortunately, again, a good reason to get yourself established in your career is before you have children. You know, I'm fortunate that I can pick jobs that sort of don't interfere with my family or not going to be a hardship. I mean, I'm not going to go and leave for 6 months and be away from my son or my wife. And we were fortunate that we could do our show Blue Mountain State. We did that for 3 years, but we shot in the summertime, June, July, and August in Montreal, which was one of the great experiences of my life, living up there in the summer for 3 months. It's such a wonderful, charming, vivacious city. It was one of my great disappointments when the show was not renewed. But the good thing is that we're very close to announcing a movie version of Blue Mountain State, and that's going to happen in the next 3 or 4 weeks, which I'm excited about that. So we'll get to go up hopefully this summer and shoot a movie version of Blue Mountain State. I know all the fans out there, all our crazy GOATs fans, will be excited about that. But you know, that it was great. That was a great experience because my son was at camp up there, and we went out at night. And you know, I think as an older dad, you value all that time a lot more. And again, one of the disadvantages is that I'm an older guy, and you know, I probably can't do the same things with my son that I could have done when I was 30 or 40. The good thing is that I have the ability to spend more time with him. I don't need to work. I'm financially in good shape, and I can turn work down if it means that I'm going to be away from my family. So that's one of the advantages of being in waiting to marry and have a family.
Very true. And we have a question from one of our listeners. It comes from Helen from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. She says, Ed, I love you in Hill Street Blues. What projects are you pursuing now?
Well, I think right now I'm looking forward to doing this Blue Mountain State movie, but I'm also, you know, I have some things in my brain that I want to do. Actually, this part of the United States down here in the Southeast has become a very fertile grounds for production, and even here in Charleston. So I'm looking into maybe starting a production company here in Charleston and do some small films and take advantage of this culture here. I'm at the perfect time in my life. I play a lot of golf. I'm working on my golf game, and I bought my first boat, and I fish. I'm an avid fisherman, so I'm a bit of a Renaissance man.
Indeed, and you live in an absolutely beautiful town that it allows you to do that. But when you were talking about filming in the summer in Montreal and how beautiful it is up there, which it is, I was thinking it's a whole lot cooler up there in the summer than it is in Charleston, because it can get hot.
Well, you're right. Charleston is very hot in the summer, but I have to tell you, when I was up in Montreal, it could get real hot up there too. We were surrounded by, you know, the water. We were at a lake, the St. Lawrence River, and the humidity was really, really tough up there too. But I kind of like that. But the thing about when you're shooting a TV show or a movie and you're working outside and it's hot, you might have to be wearing a suit and tie, and it could be 90 degrees. That's not fun.
I can imagine.
Sweat.
Yep, I can imagine. One more question from one of the listeners. This comes from Fred in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Fred says, what aspects of being an NFL player helped you become a successful actor?
I think the ability to focus. Now, I would tell people that real focus is when you're running a pass pattern across the middle and they throw that ball to you, and you're focusing on that ball, knowing that at any moment somebody is going to try to knock your head off and you still have to catch the ball. That's focus. Because you put your bodily health on the line there. So, and then when as an actor, when you're acting and you get into a scene, you have to really focus on what your intention is. You have to focus on what you're trying to convey, who you are in that scene, and it requires, you can't be distracted. You can't, you have to become that role. I mean, that's acting 101. But it requires, like, putting everything else out of your mind and getting into the scene where you're supposed to be and who you're supposed to be. And I think as an athlete, my ability as a football player, you have to put the crowd noise out of your head. You have to put that fear of injury out of your head. That's a mental, that's mentally challenging, and that's focus. And I think that's what helped me as an actor, because I could do that. Acting was a breeze after playing in the NFL.
I can imagine, and I'm sure the discipline required is not to be overlooked. Well, you know, the test of a great guest is when the time flies by and you are at the end of the show and you don't know how you got there. Ed, thank you so much for your time, for being here with us, and for sharing your experience. Very valuable to me and certainly to our listeners, and I hope you'll consider coming back in some future point.
Absolutely. I really enjoyed it, Chris, and good luck to you. And now I guess I'm going to have to listen to your show on the web. So,
of course. Stand by. I'll tell you how.
Okay.
So, For the rest of our listeners, I hope that you join me next Thursday at 6 p.m. East, 3 West on Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk for Business and Parenthood. Until then, seize the moment, every moment, at work and at home. We'll talk more next week. I'm Chris Efesiou. Thank you for listening.
Thank you again for tuning in to Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. Please join your host, Chris Efesiou, again next Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time and 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Make it an engaging week at work and at home.